Satire, slapstick, farce, no matter how it is dressed, comedy is a theatrical mainstay. Aristophanes, Shakespeare, Molière, Oscar Wilde, Noel Coward, Christopher Durang, these are some of the playwrights who spring to mind when we talk about stage comedies over time. And of course, no discussion of onstage comedy in the U.S. is complete without mentioning Neil Simon. Simon is responsible for creating some of the most enduring comedies made for the stage. His work includes Come Blow Your Horn, Barefoot in the Park, The Odd Couple, The Brighton Beach Trilogy, Prisoner of Second Avenue, Plaza Suite, and Lost in Yonkers. He also adapted a number of his plays for film, including The Odd Couple, which was nominated for an Oscar for Adapted Screenplay in 1968, and subsequently became a successful television show. Among Simon's other adaptations for the screen are Plaza Suite in 1971 and The Sunshine Boys in 1975. He is the only playwright to have had four productions of his work running simultaneously on Broadway, but it was a drama, Lost in Yonkers, that won him the Pulitzer Prize in 1991. Of Simon, actor Jack Lemmon said, "Neil has the ability to write characters, even the leading characters that we're supposed to root for, that are absolutely flawed. They have foibles, they have faults, but they are human beings. They are not all good or all bad. They are people we know." For KMUW, this is Sandamore Coleman.
And we welcome you on stage this week. I'm Fletcher Powell here, as always, with Sandamore Coleman. Hi, Sanda.
Hi, Fletcher.
And let's talk about Neil Simon.
Let's talk about Neil Simon. You know, we've been talking about comedy for weeks now, and I'm not sure I'm through yet, but I wanted to make sure before I got to that place that we managed to bring Neil Simon into the conversation. The topic of Neil Simon, not the man himself, or I would have led with that. But first, I want to talk a little bit about comedy versus drama. Comedy, almost everyone acknowledges that comedy is harder than drama. It's harder to write. It's harder to perform. But it gets less respect and less love when it comes to awards. When we think about the golden pantheon of American playwrights, William Inge, Arthur Miller, Tennessee Williams, James Agee, where's the comedy? You know, where's Neil Simon?
Yep.
Neil Simon, I mean, the guy is, he'll be 90 years old in July. And he's written more than 30 plays. And those are just the ones that have seen the stage. He's like Stephen King. He's prolific. And not all of them are home runs. But he comes to bat so often that he's bound to hit a few out of the park. And he has. What's interesting to me about Neil Simon is that he's very articulate about the writing process. He says he just likes to jump in and get started, and as the characters reveal themselves piece by piece, he says when he reaches page 30, 35, that's kind of his decision line where he decides whether or not he has a play. And it always depends on the characters. He says, and this is a quote, he says, "I think about thematic plays, but I don't believe I write them. To tell the truth, I really don't know what the theme of a play is until I've written it and the critics tell me." And I love this. I love this because he's articulating what most of us know about writing, which is that it is both a conscious and unconscious process. He says when he wrote Broadway Bound, which is probably the most biographical of his plays, although not strictly biographical, but in Broadway Bound, he wanted to dissect the process of comedy writing. With the older brother named Stan teaching the younger brother, Eugene, and they stand in for Neil Simon and his older brother Danny. When Simon first started out, he was a writing team with his brother. So in Broadway Bound, Stan keeps hammering Eugene about, you know, what is the fundamental essence of comedy? And Eugene can't answer the question, and Stan finally says, "It's conflict." And he says the other ingredient is, the key word he says is wants. He says in every comedy, even drama, somebody has to want something and want it bad. When somebody tries to stop him, that's conflict. And Simon goes on to say that once you are familiar with the conflicts, the play is already done in your head. All you have to do is write it down. He said that when he first started writing plays, he had Lillian Hellman offered him some advice. She said, don't ever try to mix the genres. Keep tragedy, tragedy, and comedy, comedy. You should not try to mix the two. And to his credit, he thought at the time even, well, that's just crazy. Because tragedy and comedy, that's how life unfolds. They're right. Hand in hand.
Right.
He said, I learned nothing that was funny that wasn't also sad, and the other way around. Simon also says that he has so many more plays in his desk drawer than actually saw the light of day, which is staggering when you think about it. But he says occasionally the ones he's put away, he gets them back out and will work on them. Sometimes he does, sometimes he doesn't. He says the best example of this is Brighton Beach Memoirs. And he wrote the first, 30, 35 pages, put it away. Then he got it back out and he gave it to his family to read. And they said, oh, it's great. It's great. You've got to do this. And so then he showed it to his producers. And they said, oh, this is different. This is so different from everything you've done before, but it's going to be a great play. And he said he was aware that the style was quite a bit different than what he'd done in the past. And the fact that people kept telling him it was going to be a great play sort of scared him, so he put it away. And over the years, he would take it back out and look at it and then put it back in the desk. And then 9 years later, he took it out one day and he just finished writing it in 6 weeks. And he says that something, this is a direct quote, something in the back of my head, somewhere in the back of my head, I grew up, I matured, I was ready to write that play, which I think is so interesting. Mm-hmm. And also, I mean, it's so human because we come to books the same way. You know, a book that you read at 19 is a different book than the same text that you read at an older age or a younger age, for that matter. He says that when he writes a play, he needs to have an anchor. What he calls the Greek chorus for the play. He says in The Odd Couple, it was Oscar who played that role. He observed Felix. He commented on Felix's behavior. And Felix, of course, responds to these comments, but it's Oscar who, Simon says, who is really telling the story, really saying what the play is about. In the Brighton Beach trilogy, he actually has Eugene, the stand-in for himself, address the audience. And he did that in part because so much of what happens, Eugene is a writer, and so much of what happens with the writer-observer person happens in the interior. They're not expressed. And so the only way that he could have those feelings and those thoughts expressed was to have the character of Eugene address the audience, break the fourth wall. But he started out on Your Show of Shows, which, what a great training ground that must have been. It was hard for him, he said, because he was very shy. He was introverted. And he tried to sit next to Carl Reiner and tell him his jokes in Carl Reiner's ear, so Carl Reiner would say them out loud and everyone would go, wow! One of the things he said about the writer's room there was that everybody showed up at 10 o'clock on the dot, ready to work, except for Mel Brooks. Mel Brooks was always late, and they would get angry, and they would, they'd be shouting, and couldn't wait, they were going to do it this time. They're going to tell Sid Caesar something has got to be done about Mel. And then he said, but then Mel would stroll in about 1 o'clock wearing a straw hat and he throw it off, throw off the hat, and come out with some line that just killed everyone in the room. And Simon says, you know, most of us guys had to get there at 10 o'clock so we could work up to funny and inspire each other to funny. But Mel Brooks didn't need the extra time. He just came in funny, which I just think is a delightful little anecdote. So I had to throw that in. He says, of course, the Brighton Beach trilogy is not strictly autobiographical, he says. Otherwise, he would have named the character Neil Simon, but he's not. He's Eugene Jerome. And he says that allowed him a bigger space for his creativity, for his fiction. He says, and I love this, this is a direct quote, "It's like doing abstract painting. You see your own truth in it, but the abstraction is the art." So when he was working on his first play, Come Blow Your Horn, he was told by other writers, you have to write an outline. You have to do it. It's the only way to make sure that it gets done. So he wrote an extensive outline for Come Blow Your Horn, and he said, a few pages into it, the characters tried to stray, and he tried to force them back to the outline. No, 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 come on, you've got to come with me. This is what I've planned. But they were recalcitrant. They did not want to go back to the outline. And he learned to let his characters break out of those strict confines when they wanted to. He said when he wrote the second play, Barefoot in the Park, he outlined the first two acts. He didn't get through that outline either. In The Odd Couple, he outlined the first act. And then finally, he just decided, forget outlines. I want to be as surprised as anyone else. And he'd also read a book by John Van Druten. And Van Druten said, don't outline your play, because the rest of it will be just work. It should be joy. You should be discovering things the way the audience discovered them. So I stopped doing it, which I think is fantastic advice, really, for young writers. I had a professor tell me, when you are about to write a short story, don't go to the bar and tell your friends all about it, because you've taken all the fun out of it. Mm-hmm. You told the story. That was the fun part. Now all you have left is work. So I think pretty good advice for young playwrights. A bare outline will help you, but don't be afraid to go past those confines. Simon says, and here's another direct quote. He has so many, he's so quotable. He has so many wonderful things. "To me, setting people in conflict with each other is like spinning one plate, then another, then another. I wanted to keep as many plates spinning as I could." One of my favorite anecdotes from him is about The Odd Couple. He says sometimes he'll write things and he'll think, well, you know, this doesn't seem like much now, but I might be able to use it later. And so what happens is when he gets to the second and third act, if he finds that he is stuck, he will go back to the first act and mine it for clues of where to go. And he said he has been accused of working backward to that end. And the example that he cites is The Odd Couple. It's kind of a regular thing for Neil Simon's characters to reach a breaking point, and then they just blurt out everything that they've been repressing for years and years, or days and days, depending on which play it is. So in The Odd Couple, in the second act, Oscar just unloads on Felix about all these complaints, you know, including, he says, the little letters you leave me. When Simon was writing that, he thought, now how would Felix sign these notes? Because he would want to be as irritating as possible to Oscar. So first he signed it Mr. Unger, and then he tried Felix Unger. And then he tried the initials, and he said it was like a bomb went off in the room. So when Oscar says, it took me 3 hours to figure out that F.U. was Felix Unger, it always gets a laugh. So he likes to write about family. He says he doesn't write social and political plays because he always thought that family was a microcosm of the world. He says, I'm a middle-class person. I grew up in a middle-class neighborhood, and I try now and then to get away from the family play, but that's where his heart is, and that's what he writes about best. And so that's what he sticks with. And, you know, he has said that perhaps he is a bit of an anachronism in today's theater world because he does write the well-made play. He does believe in resolution. He's been accused of forcing happy endings, but he does not particularly believe that he does that. He says he writes optimistic endings, sometimes hopeful endings, but he rarely believes that his plays end happily. You know, now the show that he got the Pulitzer for, Lost in Yonkers, a drama, of course. But he thought it was the bleakest thing he had ever written. He thought it was Dickensian. It was so dark. And he was so afraid that he would hear the word melodrama attached to it. But what instead critics said, oh, this is something new from Neil Simon, and we want you to go deeper. But he was like, no, I don't really want to do that. He said, at the same time, there were people who were saying, well, this is not Barefoot in the Park, and this is not The Odd Couple. We want that Neil Simon back. And he was like, but I can't really go back and write those plays over and over again, and nor do I want to. So he thinks, it is his opinion, and I really love it, he said that when he was writing three-act plays, a producer told him that the play should never really come to an end. The audience should leave saying, what's going to happen next? Which I think is a wonderful, wonderful idea. I think that you can get some measure of satisfaction out of an ending that is not all tied up in a paper bow. But that's Neil Simon. That's Neil Simon. And what a treasure. And at 90 years old this July, and who knows how many fantastic plays he has stuffed in the drawers of his desk.
We'll be lucky if we ever find out even a fraction of those. We could probably talk about Neil Simon all day long, but we'll go ahead and leave it there for On Stage this week. Thanks, Sanda, as always.
Thank you, Fletcher.
And for KMUW, I'm Fletcher Powell.